This is a HeadGum Original.
Bippity boppity roo, I see you. This is RuPaul's Drag Rant, a subsidiary of Drag Her, a subsidiary of HeadGum, brought to you by the subbest subsidiary, Monogapian. I'm so excited to be here. We're talking Seven the Rusical. I can sing. And we're back in after last week. Again, this season is continuing to be a puzzle. A puzzle filled with pieces that will not fit together. But there was a lot of highs in this episode and then a lot of mehs. But Tia's coming off of a win. She's got her first badge ever. She's going to win another one for Cheryl Hole. Oh, that's sweet. Cheryl Hole, justice for Cheryl Hole. And next, we're talking about how crazy this episode is. And Hannah was going to send home Gothy Kendall, of course, because Gothy Kendall refuses to participate in this TV show. What a sleep. Little queen. I am obsessed with the edit she's gotten. And, you know, I would say this. I mean, you know, the same thing happened to Crystal Versace in the Rose Challenge when they were like, hey, you were awful. And we were laughing at how awful you were. And she won the season. So Gothy Kendall kind of had a similar edit this episode of like, God damn it, this dog will not do drag. And, you know, can we punish her for it? No, I like her sense of humor. I thought that was pretty goddamn adorable. But let's get to what happens in this damn episode. We're back in. They're reading each other. This reading challenge was pretty funny. I think this is the first time Tia Coffey wins. She wins doing dad jokes. And I do mean dad jokes. Like, has anyone ever won a reading challenge by doing a dad joke that was about police combing the area in regard to a wig? That was kind of iconic. Again, Chorisa May continues to be funny. Well, no, what I mean by that is she should be funny. She is funny, but she's having a hard time connecting that in these damn challenges. Well, regardless, here we go. Oh, and also, there's also an interesting thing happening this episode. Oh, I have to punctuate my own words or else no one will stop me. I'm like a large child running downhill. There's no way to stop me. So, is the romance between and Tia happening? It's like kind of happening, or at least the edit would lead me to believe so. There's a couple of moments in this episode where they touch on it, and I said, what the hell is happening here on this good goddamn day? I want that to happen. Or is La Grande Dame very cruelly, oh no, she's doing a cruel intentions. Oh my God, I just realized it. La Grande is 100% doing a cruel intentions because we know Tia's at the end of this. Tia not only is playing the best social game, she's playing the best game, like the best game. So she's socially strong, especially in this episode. We'll get to it because one, a truly beautiful Drag Race moment happens in this episode. And I usually roll my eyes when that happens. But Tia is a strong player and endearing herself to people like Hannah. Is just being cruel and cruel intentionings her to get her on her side? What do y'all think? I think I'm on to something. I don't want this to be a she's all that. I do not want Tia to be a bet, but some bruised part of my soul says, oh no, she's a bet. They're reading each other. We're having a good time. They're picking the roles. I was confused about this a little bit because like the roles were sort of set in stone, but also the lyrics were deeply personal. So did self-esteem put in overtime trying to get their weird facts about themselves into this set in stone song? I mean, however they did it, I'm not going to say they did a good job because I think you can actually tell that it was one part song that's already set in stone, and then one part, how do we figure out you to say rar in these 8 bars, Gothy? Oh my God, so funny. So they're debating about who should get what. Gothy Kendall's going to go last. LOL. That is so cruel and funny. Hannah does the comedy, of course. She does waste some of her time in her song saying, ha, ha, ha. That's, hey, ask Pandora Box. That is a cardinal sin. And we're off to the rehearsal portion of all of this. Goofy, goofy things are happening. Of course, you know, Marina Summers can sing, but they're like, do we need you to sing? Luckily, they did have a vocoder on every single microphone, which I thought was sweet. However, making them sing live was cruel. I want to know what goes into the production side of this, where they decide who gets to sing, like which musicals people get to sing, which musicals are going to do a track, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I know it's based probably on the casting of it all, but who in this goddamn cast did we need to hear sing? Because I did not need to hear any of them sing. Based on what I heard, my ears were in pain. Let's talk about this Tia and Hannah Conda moment. This truly was one of the more beautiful exchanges, moments I've seen. You know, we've seen a lot of crying in the workrooms, but the way they slowed down the editing, the way they lifted out the music, because if this is one of the rare moments in Drag Race where we didn't have, you know, we all know that Drag Race has music during every millisecond of every single minute. They lessened the music and they really let this scene happen between the two of them. It was slow. It was patient. It was beautiful. We got to talk about Tia's mother and father and, you know, the struggles with COVID and struggles with like watching herself and how hard she was on herself in season two. It's a beautiful moment. And then Tia punctuates it with a fantastic joke. Tia Coffey is going to be in the finale. There's just no way not to. And look, there's some queens that could get chopped, unrightfully so, like your Marina Summers, your La Grande Dame. I could see them getting chopped because they're threats. But I think Tia's Coffey's is social game is too strong for her to get chopped early. That's my opinion. What's y'all's? Talk to me. Also, what do y'all think about Michelle being the sole confirmed host of Drag Race Down Under? I don't like it. I hate it. I hate it. Let's talk about Seven the Rusical if we have to. Man, this choreo sucked. I weirdly think, I don't know what to think, right? Because we've seen so many Rusicals now. I don't know how to parse apart the mediocre from the banal. I like these girls' personality more than their performances. And I think they would say the same. Because a lot of this Rusical was performing in a line. Am I way off? Or was a ton of it performing in a straight line? Like kind of going in circles in a line and then standing in a line and then stepping back in line and stepping forward in line. It was weird. I don't know. It was weird. Again, I guess they probably got 3 hours to choreograph it top. Maybe not even. So I understand why the choreography was so chopped. Oh, poor Gothy Kendall. It is so funny. Again, I wish they wouldn't cut away so much, because the few snippets we see of Gothy Kendall, it's fun to see her like an action figure that the other children forgot to play with. She is standing absolutely still as the other Barbies are alive. I want to see the whole stage picture, but they keep cutting away here, there, back and forth, and I can't tell who did good or bad. I will say, Choriza's verse was my favorite. I think they had some performance notes for her, but I thought her verse was the absolute best. The best. It was the best. It was the best. It clarified who she was. It gave point of view. It was funny. And then they were mad that she stuttered a few times in the choreo. But I think that's bullshit, if you ask me. So Choriza killed it for me. If I'm not mistaken, I think Scarlett's next. Scarlett did really good. I would have, like, this felt like, rather than the week where she weirdly won, which I did not agree with, I think she actually could have won this week and it would have made sense. But hey, I don't know. I guess I don't know what the fuck, right? Fuck me and the fucking goat ass. What do I know what I'm talking about? Marina is perfection. I think her lyrics were a little weird, but again, her performance is the best, and I agree. I mean, she's the isolations she's popping and locking are leagues better than the rest of these hoes. Tia Coffey was funny. Yeah, she was really delightful and funny, but again, her choreo was sloppy as fuck, and she won. I don't get it. I guess we just like Tia Coffey a lot. And I'm with you. I love Tia Coffey. I just didn't get why this was the number two, the top two. Lahr is getting away with a beautiful look and a beautiful, just being a beautiful person because she was fine. Gothy Kendall refuses to do the choreo. Hannah Conda has her weird comedy verse. And of course, Gothy ends by whispering her verse to the back of the stage. Wow. We're going to talk about, what'd you think? I didn't think this was so good. I like them more than the collective musical. They're just performing in a line. Who knew that standing in a line could entertain you for 10 minutes? I did not know. Okay. Let's talk about these looks. But first, silence me. I feel like taking a break. Oh, we are icons. Break. This is a great runway category. When I glow up, it's we love the redo of a past look. It should be in every season ever. We have Tia Coffey's pterodactyl. Okay, maybe she was in the top two because of this. I love this. This is wild. The wings move, the hair is a pterodactyl. Fucking work, bitch. I think this is awesome. The claws, the everything. Chirp, 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 chirp. The makeup glow up, the 3D printed rib cage. I love it. Scarlet Envy giving her merman, merwoman, mermaganza. Yeah, this is awesome. The colors, the sequins, the angles, unbelievable. Absolutely gorgeous. The no heel heel, absolutely stunning. This is a chirp. This is gorgeous. Again, I could have seen her in the top two for this. Next, Hannah Conda. This was weird because I did think I liked her first one better. Am I the only one? I genuinely liked her other one better. I like her first version of this look. Again, I don't think she had any huge burps. So maybe this is a weird thing where like she didn't have that many. I don't know if she had any like shitty, fucky, awful runways to like hearken to. This was fine. I'll give it a light chirp because it's absolutely fine. Again, Michelle is mad. It looks like Michelle from 2006 and she has the nerve to not like it. Rude. Next, Gothy Kendall giving a Queen Elizabeth II. Yes, it is a glow up. Yes, Queen Elizabeth is understated. Yes, she is thin. It's definitely a chirp. It's pretty. It's pretty. It's just a shame that she's such an understated look during a week where, I mean, understated isn't even the word. Gothy Kendall is not understated. She's under the ground stated. Next, we have Marina Summers. Fuck you. Fuck you, Marina. With the judges gagging over her slow look to you. Again, the look she's improving was already gorgeous. This look is one of the most insanely beautiful looks that's ever been on this runway. These colors, the fishness, caca, very deserved caca. Everyone is ugly. In this world, there's Marina Summers, and I'm sorry, if you're not Marina Summers, everyone else is fucking ugly. Next, Chorisa May. Yeah, this was strange. Yeah, like, yes, it was an improvement over her last look. Yeah, I think it's okay. It's not unbelievable. Again, I wish there could be a way to have tits with this because the bare chest I don't think serves her in this look. It's pretty though. I love a sideways hat defying gravity. I'm gonna give it a chirp. It's not great, but it's not ugly in any way at all. It's fine. It's good. Chirp. Next, Lahr with a look made out of condoms. I don't understand how you make this. I don't understand how this works. I don't understand why this works. I don't understand who spent time on this. Again, her first look is, I mean, yeah, it's better than her first look because her first look is just a, you know, silly little shine dress. I don't know. This is wild. And again, the silhouette is insane. I'm gobsmacked. And then she spurts. It's definitely a spurt. I mean, a chirp. It's weird as fucking shit. But again, weird in a very specific way. I mean, the detailing of this dress is something that I don't know if I'll ever see on this runway again. Chirp. Wow. So here we are. They give their critiques. And again, we got my favorite thing in the world where they say, oh my God, Tia Coffey, you were awful and we live. Like, it's not often you get to see a queen laugh at themselves and you get to see the judges laugh together and just be like, she was diarrhea. And hey, but hey, you, sister, we're talking about you. You were awful and I loved it. You didn't get one goddamn thing right. And we just, is it okay if we laugh in your face for the next 20 to 25 minutes while you're wearing painful heels? Thank you, because that's what we're going to do. This was one of those mercy kill moments. And of course, our top two is Tia and Marina. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh no, RIP Tia, because Marina is a lip sync. I'm not even going to call her an assassin. I'm going to call Tia, she is a lip sync serial killer. There's a difference. Assassins are quiet and you know, like they know how to like hide themselves. I don't think Marina can even hide her power. She is a lip sync serial killer. She's amazing. We hear everyone's cases and the editors do the best job possible to make it seem like there is any reason why we will send anyone besides Marina Summers home. I don't even remember who the other bottom queen was. It was Marina and Chorisa. Okay, right. And we're pretending like, look, you could make a funny argument to send home Chorisa, especially because the comedy's coming and she is funny. She just hasn't clicked in. But I think we all know that it's time to really do the right thing and off this poor sweet girl named Gothy Kendall. And we have a lip sync by Self Esteem. This song was very challenging and weird, but they did a great job with it because this was a very like mid-tempo weird song. Tia's doing the best she can to give the, you know, I don't know what to say. I'm an independent woman vibe, but Marina is just killing it. And even not even going all the way hard, but Marina is giving us syncopation, isolation, Janet Nation. She's awesome. She's amazing. Marina, of course, wins, getting her second repeater badge. Second. Oh, she's a target. First girl with two badges. She sends home Gothy. Gothy says, duh, I'm awful at this. Gothy goes home, and next week is another episode of this fun season. I think the season's fun. Oh, yes. Next episode, they're really seeing what is happening with the boys, the girl, like, and Tia. What is that? Is that just a misdirect? Is it a classic Amy Winters and Jinx Monsoon, or is it a real Vanjie and Brooklyn? I don't know. We won't know until next week. So thank you so much for listening to this robot drag. I'm Mono Gappy and I'm tired. Follow Drag Her Podcast on Instagram and give us 5 stars on the Apple Podcast, because I don't know how much longer I can do this without your praise. Till next time, let the music play.
Was a HeadGum original.